Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. Happy Friday, everybody. New rule on Fridays. We roll, broadcasting live from River City Roll here in Scott's Edition. Richmond's home for Football Festival. We had Football Fest 3 this past Saturday. Once again, thanks to the AWOD Army, the supporters of the show that came out to the event, Taylor Long Properties for sponsoring, Renewal by Anderson, Cowan Gates, and Bud Light. We had an epic event. And in case you missed it, we brought the swag bag with us today to River City Roll. We've got extra T-shirts, we've got extra sunglasses, and the Commander's Cups as well. It's 1 p.m. on the Fan, which means it's time for the Richmond Commander.
It's time for the Richmond Commander.
Are you ready, folks?
The phones are open. It's your chance to be the quarterback of this segment.
There's something I like to say.
Every day at 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, the Richmond Commander.
What can Jaden Daniels do to build off of his historic NFL rookie season? If you want to chime in, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. What does Jaden do in year two after historic NFL rookie season? 833-804-0910. Look, when the offseason began, I started by saying, I want him to be a 4,000-yard passer. We point to every guy that was a 4,000-yard passer last year, and I think there's guys that Jaden's better than or will be better than in the future. He's certainly an accurate quarterback. He's got the deep pass. He's got the ability to make the explosive play by dodging a free blitzer and then keeping his eyes downfield. As the offseason kept going and I got my eyes on Jaden, and I do believe, like people said, he looks a little bigger, a little stronger. He looks great. Like he's going to take off this season. I'm starting to believe less and less that he will be that 4,000-yard passer and think more and more that he could be an 1,000-yard rusher. Like, this guy's going to be our lead running back this year. I'm very confident about that. 851 last year, 799 for Brian Robinson Jr. I don't see any of the four guys that are replacing Brian Robinson Jr. going for more than 800 yards. But I believe Jaden will. I believe he could be close to a 1,000-yard rusher. And it's not going to be Jaden Daniels getting a snap and just taking off and running, because I think Cliff Kingsbury will call less quarterback design runs. There will still be a few of them in the game plan every single week, but it's going to be more of Jaden scrambling, Jaden seeing an opportunity to pick up the first down and picking it up with his legs. That is his biggest X factor. That's what separates Jaden Daniels from the rest of the quarterbacks in the National Football League. It's his speed. It's his ability to dodge a defender, to take off with the quickness downfield. He's going to play to his strengths. He absolutely is. And so I think he's going to be 3,000-yard passer, very close to a 1,000-yard rusher, 22 touchdowns to 8 interceptions. I think he'll do a good job of limiting the turnovers. I'm just worried about a couple fumbles because he got very lucky last year. It started week one with a fumble on the first play. It went out of bounds. And as the season continued, a few times he took sacks and held on to the ball funky, and he dropped it. But Zach Ertz picked it up one time. Tyler Biadasz picked it up one time. He got lucky in terms of not fumbling the ball because he did put it on the turf a few times. That's something that I think keep your eye on. I don't think he's going to have crazy amount of interceptions and turnovers, but fumbles are something to keep an eye on because I do expect him to continue to run a ton this season as Jaden tries to build off of what was a historic rookie season. You got to like what the team did in terms of, all right, let's protect his blind side, Laremy Tunsil. Let's get him another weapon, Deebo Samuel. Let's pay the blocking tight end that's been a 6 offensive lineman in Ben Sennett, and let's bring back Zach Ertz. So they also drafted a wide receiver in Jalen Lane, who's already created a connection with Jaden Daniels. I mean, they connected quite a few times in training camp. And then, as you saw, Jalen Lane connected with a pass from Josh Johnson and had a really good preseason game against the Cincinnati Bengals. So, like I said all offseason, I think Adam Peters did his part. As long as number 17's there. I said I'm not going to talk about it, but that would be where Adam Peters effed up. If 17's not there week one, I'm very confident he's going to be there. Jaden Daniels told reporters yesterday he's confident Terry's going to be there. I don't think this situation that has been a nightmare this offseason is going to bleed into the regular season, because I know how much this front office cares about this success for this season and building off of last year, because they got the fan base in the palm of their hands. Josh Harris as owner may never have another opportunity like this, where the entire city is fired up. The entire city is super excited because for the first time in 30 years, basically, you have a franchise quarterback and you brought him back healthy. We had a glimpse of this in 2011, and then RG3 shredded his knee. Jaden Daniels, 12 wins, conference championship game, and fully healthy for an all offseason. This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity to create fans for a lifetime. They need to make sure they have 17, and they need to make sure that there's no leaks in the locker room, and that this is a tight-knit group like it was last year. A big part of their success last year was the brotherhood that Dan Quinn created. Dare I say, the culture that Dan Quinn created. Jaden Daniels came in at number 21 in the NFL Top 100 after just one season. They had a really good three-minute breakdown with a bunch of interviews. We wanted to play that right now. Jaden Daniels comes in the NFL Top 100 after 1 year at number 21.
Number one player in the league? I'm going with my guy, Jaden Daniels.
Come on, champ! Come on, champ! Let's go!
After getting selected second overall in the 2024 draft, Jaden Daniels had one of the most impressive seasons by a rookie quarterback in NFL history.
Bengals bring the house. Jaden loads one up for McLaurin in the end zone. Touchdown, Washington! Unreal!
He's the modern NFL quarterback. Like, he's what everybody's looking for.
You get your best player, and that's Jaden Daniels out on the edge. You give him three options. He can run it, he can hit center in the backfield, and he also has the ability to throw that corner route.
A guy that could command the offense.
What a little okey-doke from Daniels to Ertz.
A guy that can throw the ball downfield.
The perfect throw to Deami Brown. Wow.
Dan Marino told me you can't guard a perfect throw.
A guy that you can use in different run designs and run concepts. And he's an amazing athlete. He has real speed. Once he finds a lane, man, it's like everybody's trying to get to the ball. He can hit a home run.
Jay Daniels, high respect for that.
Bring your star, baby. Keep going. Keep going first.
When you study him on tape, he's so elusive. Keeps plays alive.
Stops, cuts back, drops the ball, picks it up, throws it towards the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! Unbelievable!
Oh, my goodness. This is a Houdini act's greatest game.
To see the poise that he played with as a rookie was very impressive.
How do you like me now, Tampa Bay? Jaden Daniels with a tremendous throw.
He's been a leader, vocal when he needs to be.
I got to be better. We all got to be better.
Every moment when you needed him the most, he's come alive. That's when he played his best football.
10 seconds to go. Into the middle of the end zone. Back, it's gone. Touchdown, Washington.
He has that demeanor, like, he wants to win, he's gonna win.
Hey, hey, let's go! Come on!
Why's that? Third and goal at the 2.
In the end zone, Zach Ertz! Who wants to go to the playoffs? Touchdown, Washington!
Thank you!
They win it over there!
I love you!
Every time, like, I can see his facial expression, I know he's about to do some crazy stuff to win this game.
Comes down to one last play. Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line. And the ball is caught! Caught! It's a miracle! He did it!
That's what you need from your quarterback and your best player. I think he has the potential to be a Mahomes caliber. I got my hands full for the next 8 years.
That was Jaden Daniels coming in at number 21. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on Richmond's home for the Commanders, the new sports radio 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. broadcasting live from River City Roll here in Scott's Edition. That's where we had Football Festival on Saturday. And if you missed the event, but you still want to support the show or wear the swag, come on down to River City Roll today between 12 and 3. We have the swag bag with us. Just had a listener come by and grab him a T-shirt and sunglasses. We've got these awesome Commander's Cups as well, so you can drink like a champ on game day. I mean, they're 22 ounces, Stub. You could put a couple of beers in that thing and have it on the couch with you for Commander's games this season. So we've got the swag bag with us. Come on down to River City Roll. Wanted to recap my training camp trip to Ashburn, and really, the first thing you notice is the energy that Dan Quinn brings. I even told him this when I got a chance to speak with him after practice. I love his press conference. It is so night and day when you consider what Ron Rivera was like speaking to the media. I know it's just a press conference, and to a lot of people, that's boring and coach speak, but I have to give Dan Quinn credit. Ron Rivera used to bore me and put me to sleep. Dan Quinn makes me want to run through a wall. Every practice for the Commanders starts with the bag drill, as you probably heard reporters talk about at length. It gets everybody on the team fired up. And so it's like if they start every practice with a ton of energy, and it continues throughout the rest of the training camp. They're always emphasizing situational drills. When I was there, it was third and long situations, and then it was even fourth and long situations. And I told you guys, Jaden connected with Jalen Lane, and then even Sam Hartman connected with Michael Strachman later on those situational drills. That's why this team was such a good situational team last season. You can actually see the vocal leadership from Zach Ertz and Bobby Wagner at training camp. Von Miller works so hard at every drill. Like Michael said, I think he's going to be really good this season. And the offensive line, we assume, is much improved. And Jane Daniels, from every conversation I had, is doing a better and better job at identifying defenses. That's the step forward he's making this offseason. So we promised not to take off this summer. Instead, we took you closer to the action with our AWOD on the road series. Here's some of my interviews from Ashburn for the Commanders training camp with both offensive lineman Brandon Coleman and wide receiver Luke McCaffrey. Let's take a listen. Adam Epstein here with offensive lineman Brandon Coleman, live from Commanders training camp. So last year as a rookie, the team has incredible success, 12 wins, two more in the postseason. How would you kind of grade yourself individually from your rookie season?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of things I wish I could have done better. And that's like just me being self-critical, like obviously looking back. But the thing is, like, I just take those things and kind of work them into my offseason. I'm very grateful for the guys that I had, like Trent, like Andrew, like Nick, you know, the whole line, the whole room, the coaches. They'll kind of help me get comfortable so quick. Like, I got in, and after rookie minicamp, after the first day of OTAs, like, I felt like I've already been there for years, you know what I mean? I was able to kind of let go a little bit and get used to the scheme. You know, Cliff did a great job, like, with all the stuff that we do to get us ready. And, you know, that's just really what helped me out, kind of get comfortable that first year and kind of start working on things that can make me better, the deep in my bag, the tools, because, you know, there's a lot of great rushes in this league, obviously, in our division. So being able to kind of work that, and now having guys like LT in our room to kind of talk through things and play next to a guy like that is going to be, you know, I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, you know, going off of that answer there, can you explain the difference last training camp to this year, year two?
Yeah, everything's slowed down a lot. Like, I know what to expect. I know how to take care of my body. I know how to stretch my days. You know, it's also just the expectations and knowing what it takes. Last year I came in, I didn't know what to expect. Obviously, I came to work, but now I have a more specific plan on, okay, what do I need to be successful for the season? What techniques? What do I need to work on? Like, this like, off-season, and especially this training camp, I work a lot on pad level. Like, just coming off the ball, especially inside, like, it's critical to come off the ball running and low. And obviously, a tackle, that's not an emphasis, but I was also just playing very high. Even if I, like, was able to get guys, I couldn't get a lot of displacement. So that was a big emphasis. So, yeah, just being able to kind of work those things and not just go into practice trying to get through the drills and, like, just work the drill, but actually working my own things kind of subconsciously on top of that.
So Brandon Coleman with me here. Last year, you were an exciting draft pick. You come in at tackle. Now Laremy Tunsil's there at tackle, and they draft another guy at right tackle, Josh Connerly. How good do you envision this group can be as an offensive line?
I mean, we can be as good as we want to be, man. Like, even last year, we had a fantastic group with the guys that we had. We were able to do what we wanted to do, the schemes, run the offenses like we wanted to. And now adding those guys, you know, Josh may be a rookie, but I mean, he behaves like he's been here, you know, like he's been here 2 years or three. Like, I feel like I came in with this guy last year. Like, that's the way that he moves around the building. That's the way, like, the confidence that he has here and on the field, you know what I mean? So having those guys be able to come to training camp and work these things and really gel together, I mean, we can be as good as we want to be.
Here with Brandon Coleman after a terrific first season in the NFL, was there a welcome to the NFL moment?
Yeah, it was game two against the Giants. Obviously, they have great rushes in Thibodeau and Burns. I had an injury, so coming back, I focused heavy on, like, just getting my techniques right. But, I mean, just, like, all day, they get my hands, they were edging around, and it was just, like, hard to adjust. So that was, like, my welcome to NFL moment. Like, damn, I really need to, like, focus on, okay, what comes next after the first contact? What do I have to, you know, focus on? And that helped me a lot. That moment helped me a lot to, like, focus on getting better, getting patient, all those things I need to work on during the season, which obviously got better throughout that season. But, yeah, that whole game just felt like a welcome to the NFL moment.
I'm glad you picked that one because I thought that was kind of a turning point game. I mean, it's just game two, but you got your first win of the new era here with Dan Quinn, and it was a game-winning drive, right, led by Jaden Daniels. Was there a Jaden Daniels' special moment this year where it was like, man, I'm going to have to block for a few other seconds?
It felt like every game had that moment, you know what I mean? And that's like, I'm just saying, because that's just the type of player he is. Like, I know if I just block my ass off for however long, 15, 20 seconds, he's going to find a way to get the ball down the field to somebody or even run it down to himself, you know? He proved that when we first came in as rookies and even in training camp. Like, he'll go make plays with his legs or with his arm, and as long as we protect him, as long as we give him lanes and give him time to throw, he's going to make anything possible.
How much of a point of emphasis are you guys focusing on? Hey, we can block for Jane, he can make the plays down the field, but the running game needs to be stronger this year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's always the emphasis. We work that every day, run and pass. And we hung our hats on that last year, and obviously there's things that we can always get better on. And even individually, like I said, for me it was the pad level and just really running off the ball, trying to displace people. And as a whole, just being, like I said, just gelling more, taking this time to really just get cohesive, run those things, and like make it like a second nature to us. And having a great group like the D-line that we have, like they're great run stoppers, but also just like very savvy in what they do run and pass. So being able to work against that day in, day out is going to make us better, but also make them better.
Brandon, good luck this season. You put the pads on today, and there are fans in attendance. What would be your message to those listening in Richmond, diehard Commanders fans?
Yeah, man, we appreciate all the support. You know, obviously family's from down in Richmond, Chester, so shout out to them. But yeah, I really love the fans. The community always comes out here day in, day out, no matter what the weather was. Yesterday was hot, they was out here. Today it feels nicer, and there's even more people here. So really grateful for the support that we get, no matter how it's looking, and even from day one.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much.
Appreciate you.
Adam Epstein here for 910 The Fan, broadcasting live from Washington Commanders training camp here in Ashburn. Joining us right now, special guest wide receiver for the Commanders, Luke McCaffrey. What's up, Luke?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. So you were here last year, and you accomplished something last year that a lot of people watching training camp didn't expect. Is there a different energy coming into this year's training camp?
I think at the end of the day, it still just comes down to competing every single day. You know, making the plays that you need to make and competing against the talented guys that we have on this roster. I think that's just the way to continue to get better, continue to grow, and to shape the culture and community.
What can you build off of what you did individually last season?
I think just honing into every single play, honing into the competition and the dedication it takes every single play to just focus, to get better, and to learn something on every play.
What about your skill set separates you from the other receivers in this room?
I think there's a lot. It's a lot more complex. I know a lot of times you can put guys in boxes, but I'm just trying to get better at everything, trying to compete every play, take advantage of the opportunities when they get there, and go from there.
When you look around the guys that you have in the wide receiver room, does it feel like, hey, this is the talent here that can contend for a championship in terms of the guys that Jaden will be thrown to?
Yeah, I mean, it's the NFL. It's the highest competition you can have in the sport, and I think it's just a blast to be able to come out here, be able to compete, and when we get on the practice field, I think we're competing against, you know, the best at every position, because that's the play you got. So I think we're having a lot of fun out here competing, having fun.
Luke, I want to go back to last season. I fell in love with you when I heard the story that you were showing up as early as Jaden was, right? Uh-huh. So how has that process evolved of getting up early, getting here, and working with QB1?
It's been a lot of fun getting with him. You know, he's so talented, but just to be able to get the confidence from him, to be able to get some more rhythm, some more timing with him in this offseason has been so much fun. You know, you have a couple extra months that, you know, you go, he spends in California training, and, you know, got to be lucky enough to join him for a couple of those sessions, but then just to keep growing and to keep building that relationship.
Absolutely. So, you know, Jaden Daniels had this iconic rookie season here. and he's trying to build off of that. You guys are trying to build off of that. The focus, I feel like you can see it. I feel like the fans saw it today at the training camp session. Can you kind of describe the level of intensity that you guys have in terms of, hey, we got to get to work. It's off season. Time's over. It's ready to work.
Yeah, again, I think that's the special part about this team is we're so focused on winning one rep at a time, winning every single battle that you have out there. And not only that, but we have fun doing it. And we got the guys that you can't compete against, and so we're having a lot of fun doing that.
Do you have a good competitive rivalry at all with any of the other wide receivers?
I think you're always competing. You know, I think it's so funny. It's a beautiful game, and especially the receiver and in the pass game in general, because you're always competing against the DB. The receiver's always competing against the D-line, because if they get to the quarterback before you're open, you're not going to get the ball. You're competing against the other guys running routes, because if they get open, they might get the ball. You know, so you're always constantly competing, but you're also helping each other out through that. You know, you want as many good players on your team as possible. And I think we're doing that. We're building that every single day through competition.
Luke McCaffrey with me here. I'm Adam Epstein. I want you to try to describe something or elaborate on it. So I was at ACC kickoff last week, and I interviewed one of the top receivers at Miami, and he was telling me about how he slows down his route based on where in the progression he's supposed to be. Can you explain that to me of, like, how you know when how fast to run on your routes? Like, I was confused by that. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally. I think that's just understanding, you know, football in general and having that knowledge of when the quarterback's going to look at you. You know, if you're open when he's not looking at you, it doesn't mean much. And so just being able to do that, I think it depends on who you are, whether you're going to, you know, use quickness, whether you're going to use linear speed, whether you're going to use some sort of other cut, and everybody has everything in their bag, but it's cool in those plays when you're allowed to kind of mix it up a little bit and be more patient.
Is there a specific route that you think you can create the most separation in?
That's hard. You know, it's so dependent on what defense is coming out. It's so dependent on, you know, your leverage against the DB. And so I think there's a lot of routes that you can run, but it depends what they give you, how you're going to run it, and what it's going to look like to get open.
Luke, good luck this season, man.
Thank
gonna
you so much.
Raise hail, all right?
Hell yeah. Thank
Thanks so much. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910, The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. The big story today is the Commanders trade Brian Robinson Jr. to the San Francisco 49ers for a sixth-round pick in return. Remember, they just traded with the 49ers to get Deebo Samuel, so Adam Peters getting work done with his former team, the San Francisco 49ers. That was the big story today. Wanted to get to Benjamin Solak's article on ESPN that I really enjoyed. He says, it's a Sunday in September. You're obviously going to have NFL Red Zone up on one screen, but you have a second screen, and your favorite team isn't playing till Monday Night Football. Which game should you watch? It's his guide of the 32 teams in the National Football League based on watchability, with the Commanders at number one. It's the lead story as we go around the NFL with NFL Hits.
Every offseason rumor, every free agent on the move, and the drama surrounding the NFL draft. It's NFL Hits on AWOD Radio.
So how do you grade on watchability? I mean, last year, what Jaden Daniels and the Commanders did, it makes sense that they're number one on the list in terms of watchability. They continued to win games at the final play. Jaden Daniels had one of the most historic NFL rookie seasons, and he ran for 851 yards. And oh yeah, they won 12 games. There was a lot of positivity in terms of watching the Commanders play last season, so it makes sense they're number one. But here's how he graded watchability. Number one, big plays. Well, Jaden Daniels provided a lot of that last year. Number two, close games. Commanders played a lot of those last year. Number three, star players. Well, they've added Laremy Tunsil and Deebo Samuel, as well as Von Miller on the defensive end. And the final thing, cool stuff, like fantasy football schemes and coordinators and football games that go down to the wire. And then when you look at the All-22, you notice things that enhance the experience. So here's his list. Number one, the Washington Commanders. And I love that the Commanders are at the top of the list. It's insane to me to think that this team just a year ago was one of the laughing stocks of the league. And 2 years before that, we had the ownership from hell with Dan Snyder. Things have changed with the quickness. Here's what Benjamin Solak of ESPN had to say. The Washington Commanders are number one. The Commanders were the perfect team to watch last season. 12 of their games ended with an 8-point margin, more than all but three other teams. In the fourth quarter, they had 19 scoring drives, fourth most, and surrendered 20 scoring drives, sixth most. A big part of that is they played fast under Cliff Kingsbury with most no-huddle plays of any team since the Chip Kelly Eagles. Having more plays equals more opportunity for excitement. What else? Jaden Daniels was sick. The Commanders completed multiple Hail Marys, one of them which won them a legendary game that broke the Bears franchise. Daniels was electric. It's hard for me to find out the second Hail Mary unless he's pointing to the McLaurin catch and run against the Cowboys stub. But he said the Commanders had the best fourth down conversion rate in history for a team that attempted more than 10 fourth down conversions at 87%. Jaden Daniels was magical. But I also enjoyed rooting for them. It has been a tough couple of decades for Washington fans. The team got a huge likability boost in Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, Jaden Daniels era. I wanted to see them succeed. So, a couple of breakdowns in terms of what he wrote here. Number one, I expect this team to be in the top 10 again in fourth quarter scoring drives. They work on situational drills all the time, and even Dan Quinn talked to the media about it. Last year, he said they had 20 or more drives with 2 minutes to go in the half and 17 or more with 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. The problem is they surrendered 20 scoring drives, which was sixth most in the National Football League, and that needs to change. I expect the offense to get an opportunity late in games to work down the field and get into field goal range or to get in the end zone. But the defense has got to be more clutch. We've been talking about this. The defense has got to find a way to get off the field. Better on third down, even better on fourth down. Can they create more turnovers? That's what we're all hoping and praying will come with year two of the Dan Quinn, Joe Witt Jr. defense. So that's the big thing. Can we have another great fourth quarter in terms of scoring drives, but can we surrender less? And then they were 87% on fourth down offensively. Can that happen again? Or was that luck in that situation, just like it was kind of luck to beat the Bears in a Hail Mary fashion caught by Noah Brown? Number two, in terms of watchability, the Baltimore Ravens, they would be at the top of my list. I love Lamar Jackson. I've been a King Henry supporter going back to his time in college. Three, the Detroit Lions. They had so many explosive plays last year. It makes sense. I mean, it feels like they score almost 40 points every single time they go out there. If you want to beat them, you got to score 50, right? Like the Commanders did in their blowout win over the Detroit Lions in the playoff game. Four, the Cincinnati Bengals. That's surprising to me. But he points to the fact that they had a bunch of last-second losses and overtime thrillers last season. Five, the Philadelphia Eagles. Six, the Atlanta Falcons. And remember, I told you guys yesterday, my bold prediction for this year is that Saquon Barkley was the face of the NFL last year in the cover of Madden. I'm going with newly named Bijan Robinson for this year. I've been hyping him up. I think this is going to be his, not really breakout year because he's already been that, but like, this is his year. I think he leads the Falcons to the playoffs. Michael Penix will get a lot of credit for the Falcons' success. When you watch them play, it'll be Bijan Robinson running for 120 yards every single week. That's my bold prediction for this season. They will win that division over the Bucs, who came in at number 7. The Jags, 8, is very interesting, but I think that's the Travis Hunter equation. Could be playing both sides of the ball. That will demand eyeballs. 9, Vegas Raiders with Ashton Jeanty. Can't complain about that. 10, the Green Bay Packers, and I have a problem with that pick. I would have gone with Buffalo ahead of them for sure. Houston ahead of them. Denver ahead of them. New England probably ahead of them. Pittsburgh with Aaron Rodgers ahead of them. I don't understand why there's excitement for the Green Bay Packers this season. I don't know what's going to happen with the Packers. I would be shocked if they win that division. I would be shocked if they won a playoff game this season. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. It's our end of the summer show. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. We're recapping the summer of AWOD Radio, in which we took the show with us on the road to Charlotte, North Carolina for ACC kickoff, to Ashburn twice for Commanders training camp. And when we return from vacation next week, the football season will be upon us. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan, live from River City Rolls. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. It is a Friday, August 22nd, here in Richmond, Virginia, in the 804. And on Friday's new rule on 910 The Fan, we roll. Broadcasting live from River City Roll here in Scott's Edition. You can come on by, grab a beer, check out the show. We're live and local till 3 p.m. And we've taken the swag bag with us here today. We've already had a few members of the AWOD Army listeners of the show stop by because they missed the event to get the sunglasses, the Commander's Cup, or the AWOD Football Fest 3 t-shirt. So we've got small, medium, and large. I do have one more XL here. So if you're a bigger boy but you're a member of the AWOD Army, come on down and grab your t-shirt. Today will be the last day for your chance to grab from the swag bag. Once again, we want to thank our sponsors for this awesome event. Taylor Long Properties, Cowan Gates Renewal by Anderson, and Bud Light. All of our great work from the sales staff and the advertisement staff here at 910 The Fan. The promotions team did a great job. It looked terrific on site Saturday at River City Roll. The big story of the show today was the Commanders trade Brian Robinson Jr. to the San Francisco 49ers, and they get a six-round pick in return. The second trade Adam Peters has made already with the 49ers this offseason, bringing in Deebo Samuel, now sending back Brian Robinson Jr. It was like Deebo for a fifth, Brian Robinson for a sixth. Good work by Adam Peters. There are now only eight players remaining from the Ron Rivera era. Now, the Rivera era did start with a bang, a 7-10 bang, but a trip to the postseason that was his lone playoff appearance. It was Taylor Heinicke against Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Eight players remain from the Rivera era, and these are guys that Adam Peters is going to have to count on this season. Guard Sam Cosmi, safety Quan Martin. So glad that was one positive selection by Ron Rivera, Quan Martin out of Illinois. Tight end John Bates, running back Chris Rodriguez, safety Percy Butler. He's a name to keep an eye on at Tuesday's cut day. There is a chance that Jeremy Reeves and Tyler Owens could be ahead of him. Tight end Cole Turner. I actually expect Cole Turner to get cut. Unfortunately, he didn't make the team last year. He was a practice squad guy. Offensive lineman Chris Paul, who I think will be back as an extra piece in the O-line group. And defensive lineman Andre Jones. We promised not to take off this summer. Instead, we took you closer to the action with our AWOD on the Road series. Here's my interviews in Ashburn for the 2025 Washington Commanders training camp with safety Quan Martin and tight end Ben Sinnott. Let's take a listen.
Welcome back to AWOD Radio, live from Commanders training camp. Joining us right now, Quan Martin. Quan, how are you doing?
I'm good. How you doing, man?
Can you kind of explain this time last year, how has the defense improved from this time last year?
It's been a lot of improvement, man. Just all around, just player IQ, guys just knowing the system, knowing the defense, and just trying to make plays, man. I think everybody is in tune to, you know, what the coaches expect. To stand there, like, we don't have to speak about it. Like, it's, you know, it's already set. And, you know, we just come out here, like I said, just compete, man. I think coach, you know, heavy on competition. So just being able to compete, man, just every day just trying to get better, especially with the guys we have on the other side of the ball.
Quan, when Joe Witt Jr. came in last year, he made headlines with his statement in the press conference, we're going to be violent. How would you describe for my audience his defense?
Violent.
Yeah.
Just like you said, man, I think everybody's on the – defense is, you know, willing to put their hat on the guy, willing to go hit and just play as violent as possible. And I think he preached that every day, and I think, you know, that's kind of what this group has adapted to.
How has the addition of Will Harris helped the group?
It's been great, man. Just a guy who knows football, can put him down to cover tight ends, take a tight end away for the whole game. And he's just special, man. Just voice in the room, just always communicating to the guys, and just, you know, being the ear. Whatever question I got, whatever question he has for me, you know, you just be there for each other.
Quan Martin with us here. This is AWOD Radio. So I was a season ticket holder for 17 years with my dad. Okay. Then I got into radio. I'm covering the team. You guys changed my life last season. I want to tell you that. And you had the play of the season, the pick six against the Lions. Yeah. Talk me through the play call, what was going through your mind as you executed that, pick it off, and you took it to the house, man.
Oh, man, it was Coach Witt just put us in a great call, man, and You know, I went to cover my zone of the field. We always talk about tips and overthrows. And, you know, those are just the ones we got to come up with. So I made a play on the ball. You know, I just did my best to get in the end zone. So made a couple guys miss. And, you know, I just seen my team blocking for me. I had a nice alley to run through. And I just ran through it and scored a touchdown.
I felt like once you picked it off, you could have gone 300 yards. Nothing was stopping you.
Oh, yeah. Nah, I mean, with the dudes we had blocking, you know, just with my skills, my ability, man, I was able to make some plays, make some guys miss. And the D-line just did a great job building a wall and, you know, just let me run free.
Well, hopefully the team can build off of that. Which of the young guys, can you name one that's impressed you?
I think all of them have grown, you know, just each week. But I think the one that impressed me the most is Trey Amos. Just his poise when he's out there, just his ball skills, playmaking ability. And, you know, just the way he approaches the game, he's smart, instinctual, and I think he'll be a great addition for us this season.
Jaden Daniels coming off of NFL Rookie of the Year season, a historic season, but we know about his work ethic and how he wants to improve. Can you point to one thing that you've seen that's different or improved from Jaden?
Just his leadership, man. I think it all starts, especially as a quarterback, man, just being a leader, taking control of the huddle, the offense, and I think he's 100% embrace that and just continuing to grow in that area. And, I mean, he's just always getting better, honestly.
Joined by safety Quan Martin. So my co-host Michael Phillips said, I have to ask you, are you the team barber?
Nah, I used to be in college, but right now I'm just my barber. So yeah. I cut my own hair. But other than that, I don't too much get into it, man. I think we spend a lot of hours up here. And, you know, just cutting hair, that's more time on my feet, so kind of try to stay off my feet as much as possible. And, you know, especially around the game day, guys always want to cut a day before the game, 2 days before the game. And that's, you know, it's probably not ideal for me. So I kind of, like I said, I just try to stay off my feet as much as possible.
But I was fed good information. You did do that in college?
Yeah, yeah. College I was, man. I was cutting 5, 6, 7, 8 guys a day, man. So it was a lot. But it was fun, man, just to go through something and learn different techniques, just all kind of stuff when it comes to cutting hair, man. It was always fun just to learn.
Yeah. Do you have any other hobbies that are like that? Outside of the football field.
One thing I got into this offseason was gardening.
Okay.
So I've been growing like jalapenos, cucumbers, ooh, broccoli, all kind of stuff, man. I just started my own little garden at my house, built a little garden bed, put some soil, tree branch, like whatever, just fuel the soil. And yeah, man, it's been looking good.
I love that. My coworker does that, and he just brought in banana peppers. They were banging, dude. Okay.
Yeah. I got some like that in my garden. Well, I got some jalapenos, but I got all kind of stuff.
All right. Well, you got to post that on Instagram, man. That's awesome.
I ain't even got Instagram, man. I ain't got Instagram. I've been off there for like 2 years.
Just on the football grind.
Yeah, man, just grinding, locked in.
Well, I appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
All right, man. Appreciate you.
Welcome back to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, broadcasting live from Commanders Training Camp in Ashburn, Virginia. And joining me right now, second-year tight end Ben Sennett. What's going on, Ben?
How's it going?
How are you?
I'm doing really well.
So let's start back last season, your rookie season. I don't think you could have ever imagined you step into a brand-new team and you win 12 games to get to the conference championship. What was that like?
Yeah, it was an amazing experience. Being able to come in here and have the success that we did as a rookie, it's obviously something that doesn't come around too much. And you hear these vets talking, and a lot of them hadn't made playoffs before. And so just lucky and grateful to be a part of an organization that was able to do that. And it was such a blast to be a part of.
Did you feel like you had a welcome to the NFL moment that you could point to from last season?
Yeah, definitely. I think the one moment that I had, it was against Philly. I think it was my first play of the game on a fourth down. We called a QB sneak or a – I don't think it was a QB sneak. I think we aligned QB sneak, but it was just a downhill run. Fourth and one. I'm freezing cold. Coming off the sidelines, and it was Brandon Graham, I think, lined up, just ran me over, made the tackle. Definitely a moment where I was like, okay, like this is the real deal. So that was one that comes to my mind that I think about. So hopefully you can't find it.
Well, good news. That means you get two more chances against them at least this upcoming regular season. What did you focus on improving this offseason?
Yeah, I think going into year two, I wanted to just be able to play fast and play confident. I think were the two biggest things. As far as specifics, I wanted to work on top of route and just bring in my feet and keep my feet in the ground. But just being able to go out there and have fun and play fast, you kind of come in that first year and your head's spinning and you're not really sure what's going on. So being able to go into year two confident, and I feel like I've been able to do that, and it's been a lot more fun.
How have Zach Ertz and John Bates helped you develop?
Yeah, obviously two guys who are the best at what they do. John in the run game is the best blocking tight end in the league, and being able to pick his brain and what he's seeing on technique, what he's seeing on all of that kind of stuff has been awesome. And same with Zach, what he does in the pass game and the way he can feel coverage and win against man, and it's awesome being able to pick their brain. And every day it's just specific things. Well, how did this look? What did you think about that? All of that. So it has been a blessing to be in the room for sure.
Joined by tight end Ben Sennett. So as you're working into the lineup here throughout preseason, into the regular season, and we want to see you guys out there and have so much success, but there's so much different expectations when you have the success of last season. How do you clear out the outside noise? Just focus on getting better every day.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what we're doing. Just being able to focus on what we're doing internally, not really worry about what the other's saying, what the projections are talking about, and just focus on getting better and competing within ourselves is the biggest thing that we focus on every day. And we got such talented guys, and being able to go against those looks and the defense versus the offense, and just being able to compete and grow as a team rather than thinking about anyone else.
Ben, really appreciate the time. I want to tell you a little bit about myself. So I'm a season ticket holder, was for 17 years, diehard fan. And on the show, I love to talk about trick plays. I've been asking for more every single week. It's my favorite thing. You had one of the best trick plays of the season. Can you talk me through the punt that you caught in the playoff game, man? How did that all come together?
Yeah, I mean, it is something that we saw for a long time during the season. The first time we played them, they showed a specific look. And we're talking about it, and it's a constant thing of special teams coordinator comes up with the idea. This is the look we want to run it against. Will the head coach clear it? What situation do we want to run it in? So there's so much stuff that goes into it. I mean, I've probably, before running that in the game, we probably ran it 30, 40 times, the same thing over and over and over, just feeling confident and being able to trust it. And it was actually up the second game we played them, but they didn't give us a specific look. And finally, like our first punt in the playoff game, NFC Championship, it comes up and like, my heart's beating because I know we're getting into it. Revo, Jeremy Reeves is the one who makes the call and like signals out to the punter and the gunners, and I hear him check into it, and I'm like, all right, here we go. It was a perfect look and all that, so it ended up working out perfectly, and Tress put a great ball out there. But yeah, that was by far my favorite memory from that year. It's such a cool moment, and to be able to do it in an important moment as well, and shift the game at that point was really cool.
Huge highlight, great play, man. Lastly here, is there one thing that you could point to tell the fans that you think Jaden has improved on from year one to year two?
I mean, it's hard to say. I think something I've been very impressed with is just how he processes the game, the way he sees it, and the ability to make checks, call out different defenses, and it's been really impressive the way he's been able to do it. And I think that's the biggest thing. He sees the game so well, and it's super impressive seeing it.
Good luck this season.
Yeah, thank you so much.